The next presenter that we have is an old friend of mine, not a young friend of mine, somebody I've known a long time. Dr. Miriam Lebach is a physician epidemiologist by training and is professor of the practice of public health and director of the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute in the Department of Maternal and Child Health at the University of North Carolina. She previously served as senior advisor for infant and young feeding and care at UNICEF, on the faculty of Johns Hopkins and Georgetown Universities, and as a medical advisor at USAID on population and on maternal health and nutrition. She's widely published and pleased with her latest book, edited with Paige Smith and Bernice Hausman, called Beyond Health, Beyond Choice, Breastfeeding Constraints and Realities. And her paper is on the systematic review of community breastfeeding support in developing countries, building on past progress.
Thank you, Jean. I have to start by saying, if you listen to the last two speakers, I don't have too much to add, because they explained the complexities of breastfeeding and the lessons learned of the importance of the continuity of the health system and the workers in the field. And I'm going to share with you what I spent 6 weeks doing, which pretty much found the same thing. So I'm pleased to report that I have no conflicts of interest, except that this project is funded through the IYCN project, which was funded by USAID, which is funded by the U.S. government, which is the largest single purchaser. And you are the largest single purchaser of formula in the world. So that's my only conflict of interest. We'll be talking a little bit about the variety of breastfeeding support programs, that all of which are known as community programs, and discuss issues in community program development that are associated with improvements in breastfeeding outcomes. Now, since I was not working directly with people, I have no pretty pictures to show with you, so hopefully we can get engaged in data together. As Kate noted, breastfeeding is a major contributor to improvements in maternal and child health and survival. I want to point out, in addition to the good point she made about the dangers of formula feeding, the impact on the gut and such, I wanted to emphasize that breastfeeding itself has benefits in terms that it provides protective factors. So it's both benefits and risks. It does both. It has to be acceptable in the community, not just available, but acceptable. Again, thank you, Kate, for making that so clear. So I was asked by IYCN to carry out a review of all the available literature on community breastfeeding support in developing countries in a 10-year period. And that's what I'm going to share with you today to some extent. The entire monograph is available online if you Google IYCN or use any other search engine, I shouldn't say one, IYCN. We were the very last review they did while they were in existence, and we were glad to get in under the wire. So basically, standard methods. So I did a systematic review of the published literature, looked for electronic and professional network searches. I also asked a lot of friends to make sure that things weren't missed. I searched for the terms community, breastfeeding, infant feeding. You can see them up there. I found nearly 200 studies. A lot of work. There were 9 systematic reviews. Unfortunately or unfortunately, none of them had looked at this exact same question that I was looking at. 5 included some studies from developing countries. There was one case study and one review that included 10 case studies that were very well done, and also 28 individual articles that weren't covered otherwise. All in all, 19 countries were included in this data set. So I'm going to give you the end before I tell you the beginning. Basically, the general findings seemed relatively consistent. And I want to say, for those of you who've been in this field a long time, not a whole lot of surprises here, but important reconfirmation of what we used to know, I think. Those projects that built on the shoulders of existing breastfeeding programs or on other well-accepted interventions in the community seemed to perform better. Those that emerged from the community or in which there was active community involvement with community change agents also appeared to have greater impact. And perhaps above all, the content and quality of the training, supervision, and follow-up made a significant difference. I'm just going to show you one forest plot. I have them all at the end of the data set if you want me to go back and show more. But I think most of the people in the room are familiar with this. Anything above 1 shows a positive impact, below 1 shows a negative, and these are all in terms of risk ratios. And this is just one that looked at predominantly face-to-face breastfeeding support compared to usual care. And what this was somebody in the community, it was a peer group, was not associated with the health center, was individual people going and working, community workers of some sort. And they all had a positive impact, but note the weight on that is 1.35. So rather than showing all the forest plots, what I would like to share with you is some groupings. It was very hard to do groupings of these studies because virtually no two use the same methodology. No two describe breastfeeding the same way. No two fully describe their training and so on. So I did the groupings that I found I could to develop some kind of comparison. There were five studies in the face-to-face group that didn't seem, from what was written, to be majorly connected with other systems. And again, that had a relative risk of 1.35. When there was community support, again, mostly just community support in isolation compared to usual care, exclusive breastfeeding, the risk ratio was 1.7 or so. Also, again, just community support compared to usual care on duration of exclusive breastfeeding, 1.6. These are good. These are all positive. In fact, in all the studies I looked at, and this might be good or bad, only one did not show a positive impact. Now, I like to think that all breastfeeding programs show positive impacts, but it is possible that what gets into the literature, what is reviewed, are only those that worked. So I want to throw in that caveat in this review. Now, when we began to look at community breastfeeding support that was following illness, very little impact on changes in any breastfeeding at all, any breastfeeding duration, but there was a huge impact, 8 relative risk ratio, if you went in after there'd been an illness. In other words, if a mother was highly motivated, you could have a profound impact on increasing exclusive breastfeeding. And remember, it didn't have much impact on any breastfeeding. We'll come back to that later. Then I looked at lay health worker counseling. Lay health worker counseling compared to usual care did seem to have a solid impact on breastfeeding initiation because they were out there in the community, they were dealing with other things, and they got there before the actual birth. So that did impact on initiation. Again, on any breastfeeding, not so much, but huge impact in shifting to exclusive breastfeeding. I should mention, most of these studies were in the subcontinent, but there was a good smattering of the rest of Asia, Latin America, and one or two from Africa as well. In terms of healthcare outreach and community-based, so here again, starting, as Elizabeth was talking about, with getting the healthcare system involved with the community worker and having community-based home visits attached in some way with mutual respect, again, huge impact on achieving exclusive breastfeeding. Then if we looked at community programs that were designed for some other reason, but were extremely well established, such as preventing neonatal deaths. So again, they were in there talking to the mom about everything in terms of saving newborn lives. Pretty good impact. Community programs that were that got too big, had too many things in them, again, the impact seemed to go down. So the messages we're getting out of this is, again, the continuum of care, the having the health system backing up what's going into the community, having it integrated with something that's respected, but having it there and not missing among 23 other interventions seem to make the difference. So the findings are in three groups. First, about the program, the intervention itself, and here is the issue of what the heck is a community project. Community-based varied from somebody walking out of the hospital occasionally into the community to totally community-generated, where a community decided to do something and happened to engage some program assistance from elsewhere. So huge variance in how in the shape of these programs. For example, it might be outreach intervention, community emergent. Many, of course, are NGO-coordinated. Very often, it's a mixture. Sometimes the workers were paid, sometimes they weren't. Sometimes the papers told you, sometimes they didn't. And hugely varying levels of basic training. And they may or may not have been built on a pre-existing community effort. And that, again, made them look differently than the others. In terms of impact, as I mentioned, all studies had a positive impact on breastfeeding variable under study, although not all achieved statistically significant findings. Now, why don't we see much change in any breastfeeding and the duration of any breastfeeding? Any guesses from the crowd? In the developing countries, nearly everybody does any breastfeeding.
About 100% they breastfeed at some point.
Right, exactly. So efforts to increase any breastfeeding, getting it from 95% to 96%, was kind of tough. And so very few of these studies show major impact on any breastfeeding. The same thing with duration of any breastfeeding, because frequently it is linked to cultural issues, and you'd have to go into a lot more depth on the issue to have any impact there. Early initiation and exclusive breastfeeding appear to be the most responsive, because these are changes, subtle changes in practices that seem to make sense and generally don't come up against too many cultural barriers. Of course, as we know, in West Africa, there's a lot of water use. In different places, there are barriers that you have to address and overcome, but they are amenable to an intervention by somebody who's trusted and part of that community, who is linked and has the imprimatur behind their back of that diploma that somebody at the medical center recognized them. Also, obviously, the motivation of the mother following illness. Once a child's been ill, a mom's going to do whatever the health system tells her to do to keep that child well. Again, as I mentioned, if they are building on established clinics, if they're carefully incorporated with other packages, and if they're part of a comprehensive intervention that has substantial political will. Now, substantial political will is also very important for sustainability, as we all know. Now, the issue of behavior change, there are certain things we do in the West that are very helpful, if you will, in developing countries. Social marketing, because social marketing is geared to the cultural differences, can be a very good adjunct to behavior change. The third set of findings were program settings. The program settings in these articles were, again, no two alike. And that setting may dictate very much what is possible and which variables are most likely to be impacted. Again, please forgive me, those of you who've been in this field forever. This is just a review of what we learned in International Health 101. But it's really interesting to see that the data truly confirm these messages, these findings, these lessons learned. Okay, so what are the recommendations? Well, basically, those that followed were said they were following USAID WHO type approaches seem to be good and effective models. Other approaches that emerged, such as good primary health care, essential nutrition action, that were already implemented and accepted in the community, worked, especially if they were done in a comprehensive manner across a socio-ecological framework. Again, building upon what is. Are you all familiar with the 10 steps in the hospitals? These are 10 practices that are recommended in hospitals that basically all they do is break down the barriers to breastfeeding that we have built up. It seems, given this importance of the link to the health system, one way we might proceed to improve programs is really concentrate on step 10 in developing countries. Many people who work in developing countries say, well, we don't need those hospital 10 steps because hardly anyone delivers in the hospital. Well, those that do tend to be decision makers and opinion leaders and the elite. So it is tremendously important that they have the support. And those health workers who are trained in those hospitals then come out of there with positive attitudes towards supporting breastfeeding. So perhaps we need to redefine and expand step 10 in developing countries especially. Also, a lot of the training programs on breastfeeding promotion were just that, promoting breastfeeding. And that's why I was saying the training is very important, because those that shared with the reader what their training were, many of them really did very little on breastfeeding support skills. And especially where everybody is breastfeeding, you don't need somebody coming around telling you breastfeed. What you need is somebody can help you out if there's a problem. And so those trainings that included breastfeeding support skills are highly recommended. Also, to look beyond the life period of a program and the life period attached by the program. For example, if you only work on the peripartal period and just talk about initiation of breastfeeding, you really are missing a miss. Because at the same time, that worker could be, who's wandering around the community all the time, should also be talking to people who aren't just immediately peripartal. The fourth general program recommendation is, some of these repeat each other, the importance of a health system, and so on, paying attention to the culture of the community. Implementation issues strongly showed that those who reported on an initial assessment were the ones that geared their project to the community. You don't just go in without knowing what's there. No matter what kind of assessment you do, I mean, I'm not married to any one kind of assessment, but at least get something about what's going on in the neighborhood. Engage leadership and change agents. Change agents aren't necessarily the person who's labeled mayor. And it's important to engage those who are active in the community. Comprehensive programs probably benefit from being introduced in a phased manner. This was only reported in one or two of the projects, but where they did report that first we did this, we worked with the hospitals, we got the clinics changed, then we went to the community, those that reported that on this kind of phased approach were the ones that had the strongest impacts. Well-taught, understandable messages appropriate to the cultural context. Again, where feasible, build on existing successful. Have a very clear, small set of activities. When you have too many activities, it's lost. We used to say the rule of seven. You never mention more than seven things in a visit. Maybe the true answer is three. Job aids, again, my talk has been given already. And again, to support it with some kind of social marketing, other information modalities. Training-specific recommendations. Real attention to the quality and content of the training. A lot of groups were using the WHO training materials or somebody's training materials. No training materials are fully right for any situation. And most of these materials, frankly, don't have much on support. They're mostly on promotion. And of course, as Emily has taught me, in training the workers, no matter what their background, adult learning techniques are extremely important, as well as job aids reinforcement and celebration. Several of the papers talked about when this was done, we gave a certificate, or when it was done, we had a party. Tremendously important. So research recommendations are in small type because there were many more in the manuscript itself. Obviously, in areas where there's already a lot of breastfeeding, you're not going to get major changes in breastfeeding, any breastfeeding. An important research need is to inform future program planning to consider comparable programs and to get the costs and effectiveness. Very few of these projects actually commented on the cost and the impact. Additional issues had to do with what we might have in terms of health impact questions, program introduction, program planning questions, program component selection questions, and program scale-up questions, and that's all in the monograph. So to conclude, I just want to say good luck if you say you're doing community-based and figuring out what you're doing, because hardly anybody says what it is. I want to emphasize, maybe it's from my population background and my public health background, that we have to really look at the population at large. If you just deal with the one woman on the one contact, it's not going to have much impact. Include the community in your decisions and actions. So include the community. Provide comprehensive support for breastfeeding. Again, any one intervention, just the hospital, just the community, just a flyer, is not going to have the impact that you're hoping it would. I have to say, this review really doesn't tell us all that much about which type of intervention would be most successful in any one selected setting. And it told us even less about cost effectiveness and sustainability. You know, I was hoping to come out with brand new ideas here. However, the richness of the articles provided a solid overview of what's been tried. And I strongly recommend if you're thinking about program planning and breastfeeding, it might be worth going to this just to see what other programs have done and how they've succeeded in comparison to each other. It's such a complex behavior. It has to be addressed with multi-level, multi-sectoral approaches. I would like to acknowledge the ICN project and Stephanie Martin for their support. I also, my own organization, contributed to this project, and I'd like to thank Nathan Nickel, who gave me a final editorial review of my statistics and such to make sure I was being honest. Thank you all very much.